everyone. Wow, it's nice to have such a full group here. You multiply, you know, from the time we begin service and then I stand up and look again and it's like, where did they all come from? So how would you like to have a little more sense of order in your life right now? In the world, yeah? Yeah, me too. You know that satisfying feeling when all the laundry is put away, the dishes are neatly stacked in the cupboard. Maybe even you get satisfaction if you work on a computer, all the little blue folders, everything is filed away and you can find it. Anybody else get the satisfaction from that kind of order? Because it brings us ease of mind, right? It brings us clarity. It brings us a sense of balance, a sense of support for the things that ought to be done by us, as our co-founder Charles Fillmore said. It makes me think of the time that there was a mama duck and some baby ducks crossing Geary Road, and a bunch of our staff and Brenly, we all ran out. I think it was Mike and Charlene, maybe Felicia, Brenly, and we were, you know, directing traffic and making sure the little ducks, you know. And it's like when you see the mama duck and all of her babies are in a row, it's like, oh, good, everybody's safe, all is well, right? There's that sense of ease. That's order, right? That's what order brings us. So order may feel really far off right now. It may feel a little bit out of reach when we think about fires and hurricanes and climates and climate change and terrorism and you name it, right? I don't have to harp on that. We get enough of that. So my intent today is to restore order in our souls. Yeah, right? For us to restore order in our souls together. The power of order is one of the 12 powers of humankind that we've been studying throughout the summer. And this one brings forth those qualities like balance and clarity and ease and so on. It also gives us the ability to make adjustments. So if things come our way and we are drawing from that power of order, we adjust, right? In the moment, we are able to adjust. We're more nimble because we have activated this power of order. And so then we're able to respond in the ways that we wish to better support our own lives and even the evolution of our own souls. It goes that deep, right? So if you're new to us, it's studying these 12 powers, or you've just coming, I talked to several people today that said, oh, I'm just coming back after a long time, or I'm just kind of getting caught up with the 12 powers, and I went back to the faith talk, and I'm beginning from the beginning. So if you are just joining us, just a reminder that these 12 powers, these teachings of unity are about, as we pay attention to, give our intention and attention to each of these powers, we are lifting up our whole being. We are coming fully, more fully, into the divine consciousness that we are. That is a part of our mission statement, right? Living and expanding our divinity. That's what we're doing by activating each of these powers one at a time. So Mary of Alphaeus is the woman of the chalice, the biblical figure from the Bible that represents order. And she was the mother of James, who was also a disciple who represents order. So chances are these many of the women that traveled with Jesus were not only disciples themselves, but they also played particular roles in the whole ministry. So Mary of Alphaeus being order probably was somebody who took care of the logistics. You think about this little traveling band, probably in rough conditions sometimes, traveling into areas maybe where there's tumult of some kind. You need somebody to take care of the logistics, right? So Jesus can focus on his ministry and the teachings can be more widespread. So that was probably someone like Mary of Alphaeus who's representing order. Order is, as I mentioned in the meditation, located in the navel. So if you think about that, it's the center point, right? It's the place where we, well, talk about belly dancing, right? I see Michelle nodding, right? So it's that place where we connect with gravity. And it gives us that sort of grounding to Mother Earth. It's also the mark of our connection to Source, right? Our connection to Mother, but also beyond that, our connection to Source. It reminds us that we are always connected. It also reminds us that we are adults now. We are co-creating. We are not so dependent, but we are working together with the divine to bring forth that which we wish. So there's a lot in that connection, and we'll come back to that. But let it for now be the reminder of your tie to your source. So our bodies and our biological systems have this magnificent design of order. I mean, if you think about anything, like how the brain works or how the, you know, these aspects of being, it's pretty magnificent, isn't it? So this, the power of order is in the digestive system, and it's right next to the power of wisdom, the other disciple James, that is in the solar plexus. So these two powers are nestled right together, and they're centered in that digestive system. If you ask any holistic practitioner, they will tell you that gut health matters. Right? I know we've got some in the congregation here. So, and so what we, and therefore what we put in matters, right? And if you think about the digestive system, the intestines are 15 to 21 feet long. I mean, that's mind-blowing in and of itself. And they're just like neatly stacked on top of one another, right? So that everything works in this orderly way. But we can only get out of it what we put into it. So it matters what choices we make, what we swallow, what we consume. So if we take this, the metaphor of the body, a little further, what we bring in to the mind and to the soul matters just as much. So what kind of spiritual food are you taking in? That is a question for all of us to ask. If we aren't feeling very inspired or supported in our lives, and we're feeling very nervous and anxious and worried, then it probably is a sign that we need more spiritual food and maybe less negativity that we might be taking in. So we can consider, what is that about for us, and what is it that we need? This is the metaphysical meaning in the Lord's Prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread. It's not just about food, right? It's also about spiritual food and what we choose to take in. So where do you get it? Well, there's no end, right? Spiritual communities like ours, we have classes, we have retreats, we have concerts, we have, you know, Sunday services. There's things you can tune into online. You can go over to our bookstore and grab any kind of publication or book that will feed your soul. And it doesn't stop here. It's all over the world, right? Meditation apps and podcasts and so on. So there's a lot available to us to just choose to tune in to feed ourselves. Order is signified by the color olive green. So that color that reminds us of nature. I mean, as I am speaking to you, I'm looking out on our beautiful green lawn, the green cypress trees, the green plants. It's that nourishing green, right? That reminder of life, that all is well. I can breathe easy here and be nourished. And so if you think about nature, nature has all these amazing designs and patterns that are part of a grander design. I mean, think for a moment about seashells or flowers or the veins on leaves or the rings on trees, spider webs and honeycombs. I mean, these are just a few, right? So as we begin to think about that and go out into nature and look for reminders that the universe is divinely ordered, that there are patterns within a grander design. And this too can bring us a sense of, there is something bigger here that I am a part of. It's not just this thing I'm focused on that's worrying me. So even in nature though, storms come, right? As some say, you can say, I love nature. And that means I love all of nature. That means I love nature still when it's on fire. I love nature still when there's a storm. I love nature in all of its fierceness and its beauty and its calmness and its serenity. All of it, right? So how can we hold on to this idea of divine order? This picture I painted for you of like everything's neatly put away and there's sort of the sense of organization and all is well, and the turmoil that so many of us are bearing witness to and are feeling in our beings, in our hearts. How do these two coexist? And what can we do to help ourselves understand that conundrum? Well, let me tell you a story to help illuminate this. Brenly and I have a rock labyrinth in our backyard. I don't have to walk the labyrinth to reap benefits from it. It brings me a sense of clarity, a sense of ease, a sense of peace, a sense of openness in my mind and orderliness by looking at it, because it's sacred geometry. It's even in its imperfection, the way that it's built, but it's, you know, there's pathways and lines and curves, and it's circular, and it just sort of, I can look at it and go, ah, right? So of course, something like that, that means a lot to me, that helps me clarify my mind, is the place, out of all the places in the yard, where our two dogs always poop. Lots of choices, but it's always the labyrinth. Always the labyrinth, it seems. So does that disrupt my sense of clarity and peace and ease when I look at it? Actually, no. Why? Because all of those other aspects are still there. The holistic nature of the labyrinth is there. Nothing disrupts the sacred geometry, the way that things are lined out. Nothing disrupts the circular shape, the sense of ease, the clarity of the pathway in and the pathway out. So if you're not familiar with labyrinths, and we have one right out here, they are not mazes. They have one path in and one path out. So there's no place for getting really turned around as long as you follow the path. So this, if we can take this idea of knowing that there is this pattern of ease and clarity and balance, in this case, regardless of, shall we say, my dog's offerings, the same thing, we can bring it out into the macrocosm, right? The macrocosm of life. Because if you think about what happens there, the only way for that divine design to be messed up in my mind is if I choose to focus on the poop or I don't clean it up, right? So the same thing, when we bring it out into life and we begin to look at this metaphor, we see that at times undesirable things are happening, right? It's always true of life. Right now it seems like it's really piled up, doesn't it? That there's lots of undesirable things happening in life. But the thing is, it's piling on top of a greater design, a greater pattern, something that is there to bring us the sense of clarity and ease and balance and the ability to adjust and respond. And so I don't think anybody would argue the point that it is challenging, right? That things are challenging right now. But if we only focus on that, we will tend to get depressed, right? Or feel helpless or sad or frustrated or whatever the feelings are for you that might come as you contemplate and let yourself get sucked in to the stuff that's going on in the world, and to name it all as negative without the big picture. So if we just stop there, we stop ourselves in that space of emotion. Now, I'm not saying emotion isn't good and emotion isn't a part of the process and we shouldn't honor that. That's certainly a part of our holistic process. But if we stop there, we've cut off the whole beauty of the power of divine order. We've left it behind. We've left out the spirituality, the fullness of the spiritual walk. We've missed really big pieces. So as we then open to the idea that the universe has a plan and a pattern that is greater than what it is that we might be seeing at any given moment, we realize that pattern, that plan, can never be messed up. We can add to it, we can clean it off, but the pattern itself, the universe's ideals, cannot be messed up. It's very much like scientists and environmentalists and especially spiritually focused ones are recognizing that in the context of climate change, Mother Earth is fine. No problem for Mother Earth. She knows divine order. She will reorder herself. She will adjust herself. She will rebalance herself. The problem is for humans. And those that we said we would care for, the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, that we at some point in the early days, way back in Genesis, were dubbed, not in charge, but somebody who could care for. That's what was meant by that dominion, that power, that was given us. And so that idea then that it's up to us and that that pattern won't change, then we recognize we have an access point. We have this power of divine order, right? And we have access to it because it is innately within us. So we can tap that power within us and recognize our unbreakable connection to the source, remembering then who we are, why we were born, and recognizing that we were born to live in these times. Our soul is divinely ordered to be here right now. At some level, at some point, we chose to be here, and we can make a difference. So it gives a whole new meaning to navel gazing when we recognize all this power, right, located here at the navel. And so I would encourage us to navel gaze in this newer way that I'm talking about. And when we do so, to remember, this is the mark of my source, my connection to source that cannot be broken. And I have the power to order my life and my world according to the greater divine pattern. It's pretty cool when we think about things, when we shift our thinking, right? Just even just a little bit of an adjustment, and it's like a whole new world opens up. Ah, yeah, I'm a part of that. I came in with a choice at some point and a soul desire to be here and a purpose to be here. And so all of this comes back to this idea that we hold chaos and order as two very distinctly different things. But what if they're not? What if those two things are actually not opposing forces? So if you are troubled by a world that sometimes seems to be in chaos, hang on for a second, because we're going to step into chaos theory for a moment. In the 1960s, an MIT meteorologist named Edward Lorenz began to do mathematical research that led him to profound insights that are called chaos theory. It starts with this idea of sensitivity to initial conditions. Anybody feeling sensitive to conditions, right? Sensitivity to initial conditions. So that reminds us then when we feel that those feelings, that we are all interconnected, right? That the earth, all living, all life, every breath, everything is connected. So when we say, wow, I am feeling so heavy-hearted about the people in Afghanistan, we've never been to Afghanistan, maybe. We've never maybe even met an Afghani. And yet, our hearts break, right? Because we are all interconnected. And so there's this recognition that there is a sensitivity to initial conditions all over the world through all forms of life. And then in Lorenz's work, he takes that sensitivity to initial conditions. He describes this as that small actions can change the current trajectory and lead to significantly different outcomes. So small actions. So this sensitivity to interconnectedness is what Lorenz was talking about when he said the flapping of the butterfly's wings over the Amazon can cause a tornado in Texas or China or wherever. And so that's real science. And so when we think about that very delicate movement of the flapping of a butterfly's wings, we recognize that our actions make a profound difference in how things play out in the world. How we respond could change everything, right? For better or for worse, depending upon how we show up. And if we meet each day prayed up, if we say, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to begin to order my life and my day and meet it prayed up, then it will be easier for us to stay in balance and stay toward those kind of outcomes that we want to create, not the tornadoes so much, but more peace perhaps. So here's the third key concept. There's sensitivity to initial conditions, there's the butterfly effect, and then the third key concept in chaos theory that I want to pull out today is the strange attractor. So this is what Gary Tobbs says in Discover Magazine. Chaos has its own pattern, a peculiar kind of order. This pattern is known whimsically as the strange attractor because the chaotic system seems to be strangely attracted to ideal behavior. So in other words, there's like all this chaos going on, right? So there's, you know, if you imagine there's energy going in all different directions and it's rising up here and it's rising up here and it's rising up here and oh, this is here. But the truth is that is in all this chaos, there is a strange attractor, what we would call the mystery of spirit, right? The force for good, the power and the presence, the omnipower that we speak of, the all-loving goodness of God is another way we say it. There's that force that will bring everything together toward its ideal behavior. Science is saying this is so. And we know it as so in our faith walk. So to recognize the fact that that is always happening, the good news, the really good news is, in all this chaos, really the more chaos is a harbinger that the strange attractor is at work, the mystery of spirit is at work that is moving us toward that ideal behavior. So when you see things in the world and you take them isolated and you say, oh, ain't that awful and how horrible is that? And, you know, but if instead you go, whoa, wait, there's a bigger plan here. Something greater is happening. There is a greater design unfolding. There is a strange attractor in the house. And it is moving us all toward an ideal behavior. That's powerful, isn't it? To recognize that, to see that, to keep that top of our minds when we're taking in this other information. And so that divinely, you know, as that is unfolding and we're recognizing what's there, that ideal behavior, what does that look like for us? Well, it would look like love, right? It would look like connectedness. It would look like peace or harmony or whatever it is that you project into that ideal behavior that is a spiritual quality that you're holding for the world, that you're envisioning for the world. Then that helps everything sort of move toward that. It's an energy that you're adding that's saying, oh yes, I recognize that, and I'm putting my energy into that so that we all are moving toward these idealistic behaviors. So there's a method in the madness is what I really want to say here, right? That's a recognition that we have when we're paying attention to our everyday lives now. And we don't have to simply stand by idly and watch and go, oh, I feel hopeless and helpless, right? Because we're not. We're participating. And we're participating whether we recognize it or not. So we might as well recognize it and participate from a spiritual place that can tip everything toward and help everything move toward that strangely attracting mystery of spirit that moves us to that grander design of order. So what are some things that we could do, some actions we could take, like the little wings of the butterfly, right? These delicate wings of the butterfly. Our every prayer, our every aligned thought, our every time that we practice spiritually brings a little bit more of that kind of energy toward the kind of outcome that we want. Now, sometimes we need to get strong with ourselves, right? And just like a judge, you know, it's like, what does the judge do? Order in the court, right? And so that's sometimes what we need to do, right? Call forth the order of in our minds. Okay, enough already. Order in my mind. And restore. What is a judge doing when they do that, right? They're calling for peace. They're calling for quiet. Everybody stop talking over each other. Everybody stop shouting. Stop the mayhem. That's in metaphysics, people are thoughts, right? So we're calling the thoughts to order, restoration, peace, quiet. And then we find our place again, right? Then we find our source again. Then we begin to, okay, now I can move forward. And so what will we do? Well, we can order up time to be, right? spiritual practice that nurture our beingness, that help us keep our minds clear and our hearts open. Take on something, establish a routine. It doesn't matter about time. You can do it for 1 minute or an hour. It doesn't matter. Just establish a routine. So I have done a routine of yoga pretty much every morning for a very long time, the same routine. And it's so established in me that my muscles have the memory of the routine. So my mind is freed up. So I'm just going through the process and doing all the stretches that feel good to my body and that feel right for my body. And it's centering for me because there's that routine, right? And there's, I notice if I miss a day, my body tells me, right? Like, oh, you need to do some yoga. So sometimes I'll just stop in the middle of the day if I can and make space for that. But so whatever that is for you, just establish a routine. Whatever the practice that you already have that works well for you, recommit to it and make it your thing you do when you get out of bed. And that way then your day doesn't get busy and it doesn't slip away from you. You set your day with, there's a tone that you're setting for your day that is orderly. You're saying, this is the order in which I do my day. This is the order in which things matter to me. I first do something that supports my divine self and my divine life and the divine world around me. It may seem simple. It may seem small. You may think, well, I'm not really contributing, but it does. Remember the butterfly, and you'll know that the effect of your work makes a huge difference. So, and then, you know, sometimes we're going to have to clean up the doo-doo, right? We're just going to have to clean it up. Whether it's ours or someone else's, it doesn't matter. Just clean it up, right? So if you notice litter, right? If you notice physical or otherwise, you know, just clean it up wherever you can. And then look for the patterns in nature and remind yourself of the truth. That despite any outer appearances to the contrary, the universe has an underlying natural order that cannot be messed up. It just can't be. We can't mess it up. It's there. It's always there. It's always our return place. So something is bigger is happening in the world right now. Even to remind yourself of that, something bigger is going on. Something much bigger in spiritual terms is happening. An awakening is happening. And in the midst of an awakening, it looks chaotic. It's like Brené Brown talked about that she was saying she was having a breakdown, and her therapist said, well, let's reframe that. It's a breakthrough. But when you're going to have a breakthrough spiritually, it looks like a breakdown first sometimes. And that seems to be the collective appearance. So knowing that our actions make a big difference, this butterfly effect on our lives and our world, let's do first things first in the divinely ordered process of things. Let's connect with the source. And from there, peace flows. So that is our number one thing to do as we work with the power of order, is to connect with our source, to remember our source. And you've got a mark on your body that will remind you every day. So let's affirm this together. I return to source. Chaos becomes order, and I am at peace. So it is.